Brachos daf yod aleph. The Gemara says, "Bishlam beis hillel kama farshi tamayu v'tami de beis tamayu v'tami de beis shamay ela beis shamay my time lo amri ke beis hillel." The Gemara begins by clarifying the rationale for beis shamay's opinion. Granted that beis hillel explained the rationale for their opinion and the rationale for beis shamay's opinion. Beis hillel explained both the verse that ostensibly supported beis shamay's opinion, when you lie down, at the time when people lie down, etc., and the verse that proved their own explanation is more reasonable, and when you walk along the way, meaning whatever parasha you want. However, what is the reason that Beis Shammai does not state their opinion in accordance with the opinion of Beis Hillel? Why does Beis Shammai not agree to Beis Hillel? Amilach Beis Shammai, in kein ne mekra baboko uva'era, mai b'shoch b'chov, k'mechom b'sha'a shchiva, shchiva mamash, o b'sha'a skima, kima mamash. The Gemara answers, Beis Shammai could say to you, if so, that the verse means only to denote the time for the recitation of Shema, as claimed by Beis Hillel, then let the verse say, in the morning and in the evening. What is meant by the ambiguous formulation, when you lie down and when you rise? It must mean, at the time of lying down, one must recite the Shema actually while lying down, and at the time of arising, one must recite the Shema while actually arising, or risen. O Beis Shammai, the Gemara continues asking, and what do Beis Shammai do with this verse, and when you walk along the way, which Beis Hillel used to prove that every person recites the Shema in whatever posture you want? The Gemara answers, Beis Shammai needs this verse in order to derive other laws, as it was taught in the Braisa, which interpreted this verse that the obligation to recite the Shema applies when you sit in your home, to the exclusion of one who is engaged in the performance of a mitzvah, who is exempt from the recitation of Shema, and when you walk along the way, to the exclusion of a groom, who is also exempt from reciting Shema. The Braisa adds that from here, from this interpretation of the verse, of these verses, they said, Chazal said, one who marries a basula is exempt from the recitation of the Shema on his wedding night, but one who marries a widow is obligated. My mashma, the Gemara clarifies the meaning of the Braisa and asks, from where may it be inferred that the verse, when you walk along the way, exempts a groom from the obligation to recite Shema? Amarav Papa, ki derech, man derech rishus, av kol rishus. Rav Papa said that we learn like the way, just as the journey along a specific way described in the verse is voluntary and involves no mitzvah, so too all of those who are obligated to recite Shema are engaged in voluntary activities. However, one engaged in the performance of a mitzvah, like a groom, is exempt from the obligation to recite Shema. Mi lo askina de kaazel advar mitzvah ba'afilu hachi amar rachamana likri imkein lichlev rachamana b'sheves uvelechas ma'i b'shiftecha uvelechtecha b'sheves didach uvelechas didach hudim chayavta ha de mitzvah patirat. The Gemara asks, are we not dealing with a case where one walks a long way to perform a mitzvah? The Torah did not designate the objective of this walk, and nevertheless, the Torah said to recite the Shema, indicating that one is obligated even if he set out to perform a mitzvah. Rather, the proof is from the formulation of the verse, that if so, that if the intention was to obligate in all cases, let the Torah write when sitting and when walking. What is the meaning of when you sit and when you walk? Certainly, these additions come to emphasize that you're sitting down and in your walking, meaning that when one does this for his own purposes and of his own volition, then he is obligated to recite the Shema. But when he does sitting and walking with the objective of performing a mitzvah, he is exempt from reciting Shema, since in that case, he is sitting or walking at God's behest. The conclusion is that anyone engaged in the performance of a mitzvah is exempt from the recitation of the Shema. But if that's so, then even one who marries a widow should be exempt, because he too is engaged in the performance of a mitzvah. That, however, contradicts the Braisa. Hai tari v'hai lo tari. The Gemara responds that nevertheless there's a difference, a distinction between one marrying a basula and one marrying a widow. One who marries a basula is preoccupied by his concern lest he discover that his bride is really not a basula, while one who marries a widow is not preoccupied. The conclusion is that the groom is exempt from the reciting the Shema because he is preoccupied.
Rabbi
Gemara asks, if the exemption is due to preoccupation, then even one who is preoccupied because his ship sank at sea should also be exempt. And then the Gemara reinforces its question, and if you say that in this case as well, when one's ship sank at sea, one is exempt from Shema, so then why did Rabbi Abba Bar Sabta say that Rav said, a mourner is obligated in all the mitzvos mentioned in the Torah, except for the mitzvah to put on tefillin, from which a mourner is actually exempt, since the term splendor is stated with regard to tefillin, as it says in Yechezkel chapter 24, make no mourning for the dead, blind your splendor upon yourself, referring to tefillin. It is inappropriate for a mourner to wrap himself in tefillin with regard to which the term splendor was employed, according to Tosfot. If a mourner who is clearly pained and preoccupied is obligated to recite the Shema, then certainly all others who are preoccupied, even one whose ship sank at sea, whose loss is merely monetary, according to Birkas Hashem, should be obligated. So why then is a groom exempted because of his preoccupation, and one who lost his property is not exempt? Hasim tarid tirda de mitzvah. Hacha tarid tirda de rishus. The Gemara answers, nevertheless, there is a distinction between these cases. For there, in the case of the groom, he's preoccupied with the preoccupation of a mitzvah that he must perform. But here, in the case of the ship lost at sea, he is preoccupied with the preoccupation of a voluntary act that he chooses to perform. It's just money, not a mitzvah. Ubei Shammai. Here, the Gemara returns to its initial question. And how does Beis Shammai explain the passage when you walk along the way, according to the Rishash? Hahu mibayi lehu prat l'shluchei mitzvah. The Gemara answers, Beis Shammai needs this passage in order to exclude one who is on the path to perform a mitzvah from the obligation to recite the Shema. The Hillel also agreed that one engaged in the performance of a mitzvah is exempt from the Shema, but if so, then the halacha that they derive from when you walk along the way lacks a source and is therefore unfounded. And the Hillel say, you can derive this halacha itself, that one is not an agent, one who is not an agent in the performance of a mitzvah recites the Shema even along the way. In other words, Beis Hillel used the verse "Uvlech techa v'derech" to teach that a person should recite the Shema in whatever posture you are, not necessarily lying down or getting up. Beis Shammai used that verse "Uvlech techa v'derech" to say that someone who's engaged in the mitzvah is exempt from the Shema. And Beis Hillel says, "Where do we learn that from?" Beis Hillel also learns the exemption of Shluchei Mitzvah from Kriyat Shema from the verse of Uvlech Techa V'Derech. And it sounds from the Gemara that he also learns he maintains that halacha that a person should recite the Shema in whatever posture he is. But the question is, and the Panei Yeshua asked this question, you can look there for his answer, is that if Beis Hillel no longer has a source of Lech Techa V'Derech to teach that a person should recite the Shema in whatever posture he is, because now Beis Hillel seems to be losing that verse of Lech Techa V'Derech to exempt the Shluchei Mitzvah. Tanu Rabbanan, Beis Hillel Omrim, Omdin V'Korin, Yoshvim V'Korin, Matin V'Korin, Holchim V'Derech V'Korin, Osim V'Malachim V'Korin, Omaisim Rabbi Yishmael V'Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah, Shahayim V'Suvim V'Makom Echad, V'hai Rabbi Yishmael Muta, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Zakuf, Kevin Shigiyas Ben Kriya Shema, Hita Rabbi Elazar ben Zakuf, Rabbi Yishmael, Amalur Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yishmael, Yishmael Achi, Emshel Lecha, Mashal Lamahad Averdome, Mashal Lecha Sheomim Mo, Zekancha, Mugudal, Amalahem Yiyye, Kineged Hamashchisim, Afkach, Ata, Kozma Chani Zakuf, Ata Muta, Achshav Kishani Hitesi, Ata Zakafta. The sages taught in Bryce at the Beis Hillel say, one may recite the Shema in any situation, standing and reciting it, sitting and reciting it, reclining and reciting it, walking and reciting it, and even working and reciting it. And in the Tosefta, an incident is related where two Tanaim, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who were both disciples of Beis Hillel, were reclining at a meal in one place together with their students, and Rabbi Yishmael was reclined, and as was customary for dining posture in those days, and Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was upright. And when the time to recite the evening Shema arrived, Rebbe Elazar reclined to recite the Shema in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai, whereas Rebbe Yishmael sat upright to recite the Shema. And Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah appeared to take offense, and he said to Rebbe Yishmael, "Yishmael, my brother, I will tell you a parable to which this is similar. It is comparable to a situation where one to whom people say, as a compliment, your beard is full and suits you. So that man said back to them, 'May it be against those who shave and destroy their beards, i.e. the only reason I grow my beard is to irritate those who cut their own beards,' according to Rashba. So you are the same. As long as I was upright, you were reclined when they were eating. And now, when I reclined, lauding your conduct and emulating you, and I lie down in order to say the Shema, but then you sat upright to say the Shema, as if to demonstrate that whatever I do, you're going to do the opposite. Rabbi Shmuel said to him, what do you want from me? I acted in accordance with the opinion of Beis Hillel, according to whom one may recite the Shema in any position, so I can do whatever I want. While you acted in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai, because you laid down to say the Shema at night. I'm the one who acted in accordance with halacha. And furthermore, I was concerned lest the students see your conduct and establish the halacha for generations accordingly. So it was therefore necessary for me to demonstrate that there is no obligation to do so. That's how I was acting contrary to you. My velo od, the Gemara asks, what is the meaning of, and furthermore, why was it necessary for Rabbi Yishmael to add additional justification for his actions when the reason that he acted in accordance with the opinion of Beis Hillel was sufficient? He doesn't have to say the second reason. The Gemara answers, it was necessary for him, Rabbi Shmuel, to add this reason, because if you say the Beis Hillel also hold that one is permitted to recite the Shema while reclining, then Rabbi Shmuel could have remained reclining, even according to the opinion of Beis Hillel. But this only applies when one has already been originally reclining, in which case, is it like any other position? You can remain how you were reclining. However, here, since until now he had been upright, and now he reclined, talking about Rabbi Elazar and Zariah, the students would say, conclude from this, that they hold in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shammai. Due to the concern that the students might see you and establish the halacha for doros, for generations, in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai, it was necessary for Rabbi Yishmael to sit upright. Tani Rabbi Chezkel, Asa Kediv Rabbi Shammai Asa, Kediv Rabbi Hillel Asa. Rabbi Chezkel taught, one who acted in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai acted appropriately and is not in violation of halacha. One who acted in accordance with the opinion of Beis Hillel acted appropriately as well. According to this opinion, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that one who acted according to the opinion of the other fulfilled his obligation. Although the halacha was ruled in accordance with the opinion of Beis Hillel would agree that one who acted in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai fulfilled his obligation. Rav Yosef Amar, also gave Rav Shammai laws of Lakhtom. It's not Mishahai Rosh of Aruba, Vasukha, Vashachan, Vasukha, Bais, Beis Shammai, Pasna, No, Beis Hillel, Makhshirin. However, Rav Yosef said, one who acted according with the opinion of Beis Shammai has done nothing and must repeat the Shema in accordance with the opinion of Beis Hillel. As we learn in the Mishnah with regard to the halachas of Sukkah, one who had his head and most of his body in the Sukkah and his table upon which he was eating inside his house, Beis Shammai invalidate his action, as he is liable to be drawn after the table and end up eating outside the Sukkah. And Beis Hillel validate his action, since his head and most of his body remain inside the Sukkah. Amalehem Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai, Maisha Shahalcho Zikne Beis Shammai, Uva Zikne Beis Hillel, Lamakar Asra Biyochan Menachoranis. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai as a proof. There was an incident where the elders of Beis Shammai and the elders of Beis Hillel went on Sukkot to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis. They found him with his head and most of his body in the Sukkot and his table inside his house, and they said nothing to him. In other words, even Beis Shammai didn't object, and his table was inside the house. Amr Lahem, Uisham Raya, Achim Amr Lo, Imkena Isanoig, Loki Abdamit, Sukkot, Miyamecha. Beis Shammai said to them, and is there proof from over there? That's not what happened. Rather, they, sounds like the Zikne Beis Shammai, they said to him, through Rabbi Yochanan ben Haranis, they said to him explicitly, if you've been accustomed to act in this manner, you have never fulfilled in your life the mitzvah of Sukkah. So we see that Beis Shammai held that anyone who did not act in accordance with their opinion did not fulfill his obligation at all. Similarly, Beis Hillel's opinion was accepted as halacha by Kriyashma, so So anyone who acts in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai and recites it in the morning upright or in the evening lying down fails to fulfill his obligation. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak stated in an even more extreme opinion, one who acted in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai has acted so egregiously that he is liable to receive the death penalty. As we learned in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Tarfon said to his colleagues, once I was coming on the road and I stopped to recline and recite the Shema in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai. Yet in doing so, I endangered myself due to the highwaymen who accost travelers. The sages said to him, you deserve to be in a position where you are liable to pay with your life, as you transgressed the statement of Beis Hillel. Mishnah. Mishnah says, from the laws of the recitation of Shema itself, the part in the Mishnah now proceeds to discuss the blessings recited in conjunction with the Shema. Here, the order is established as follows. In the morning, when reciting the Shema, one recites two blessings beforehand, the first on the radiant lights, and the second blessing on the love of Torah, and one thereafter, which begins with Emes V'Yatziv, true and firm. And in the evening, one recites two blessings beforehand on the radiant lights and on the love of God. And two after, the blessing of redemption, Goel Yisrael, and true and faithful, Emes V'Emuno. I made a mistake. Let me correct that. And the two brachos after the Kriya Shema at night are, number one, the blessing of redemption, which is Goel Yisrael, which begins with the words Emes V'Emuno, true and faithful. And the second blessing is, help us lie down, Hashkivenu. With regard to the blessing Emes V'Emuna, whether one recites it in its long formula, and whether one recites it in its short formula, he fulfills his obligation. That is according to the interpretation of Tosfot. Mokum Shem L'Harich, Enu Rashai L'Katzer, L'Katzer Enu Rashai L'Harich, L'Achtom Enu Rashai Shalom L'Achtom, Shalom L'Achtom, Enu Rashai L'Achtom. However, the general principle is, where the sages said to recite a long blessing, one may not shorten it, and so too, wherever they said to recite a short blessing, one may not lengthen it. Where the sages said that a blessing must conclude with a second blessing at the end, the chasima, he may not fail to conclude it with that blessing. Similarly, if the sages said that a blessing must not conclude with a second blessing, one may not conclude with a blessing. Gemara, my mevarich. The Gemara begins by determining the formula of the two blessings preceding the morning Shema. The Gemara asks, what blessing does one recite? Amarav Yaakov, Amarav Oshaya. Rav Yaakov says the name of Rav Oshaya, and the blessing focuses on the following verse. This concludes Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Now Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Yotzer Or Avarei Choshech, who forms light and creates darkness, who makes peace and creates evil. I am Hashem who does all these things. That's from Isaiah chapter 45. Lema Yotzer Or Avarei Noga. With regard to the formula of this blessing, the Gemara asks, let him say the following formula instead, who forms light and creates brightness, Noga, brightness, so as not to mention darkness, which has negative connotations. Why do you want to talk about Choshech? K'nichsiv Karamina. The Gemara answers, we say the blessing as the verse was written in the Tanakh, and we do not alter the formula that appears in that verse. Alamayata osir shalom uvori ra, v'kamrina k'nichsiv, elaksiv ra v'kamrina narkol, lishna ma'amya, achadami lema noga, lishna ma'amya. But the Gemara strongly objects, but if so, what about the continuation of the verse? Who makes peace and creates evil? Do we say this blessing as written in the Tanakh? No, we don't. Rather, it is written evil in the Tanakh, and we euphemistically recite the blessing of all things, to avoid the mention of evil. So here too, let us euphemistically say brightness, Noga, instead of darkness, Choshech. Halama Rava, Kedai. Kedai Lahazker Misa Midas Yom Balaila Umidas Laila Yom. Kedai Lahazker Midas Yom Ba Laila Umidas Laila Ba Yom. Now the Rava said, the reason we recite with great darkness is in order to mention the attribute of day and night and the attribute of night during the day, and thereby unify day and night as different parts of a single entity. The Gemara continues and asks, granted, the attribute of night is mentioned during the day, as we say, who forms light and creates darkness. So if we say that during the day, we're mentioning darkness, which belongs to the night. We mention that in the day. But where do you find the attribute of day mentioned at night? In the blessing over the radiant lights recited in the night, there is no mention of forming light, of Yortzeor. Abai said, nevertheless, the attribute of day is mentioned at night in the words, rolling away light before darkness, and darkness before the light. Ve'idach mani, Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ava Rabba, Vechein Ori La Le, Rabbi Elazar, Lam Rabbi Pedas, Re, Ava Rabba. The Gemara asks, and what is the formula of the other, the second blessing recited before the Shema in the morning? Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, an abounding love, Ava Rabba, great love. And Rabbi Elazar instructed his son, Rabbi Pedas, to also say an abounding love, Ava Rabba. Tanya Rabbi Yachi, Eino Mima Ava Solom, Ela Ava Rabba, Rabbanu Rabbi Ava Solom, Vechinu Omri Ava Ava Solom, Avticha, Avtich, Alkein, Meshachtich, Chasid. That was also taught in Bryce that one does not recite an eternal love, Ava Solom, rather one recites an abounding love, Ava Rabba. And the rabbis say that one recites an eternal love, Ava Solom. And so it says, and an eternal love I have, and an eternal love I have loved you, therefore I have drawn you with kindness. From Yirmiyahu, chapter 31. Om Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hishkim Lishnos, Ad Shelo Kara Kriya Shema, Tzarech Levarech, Mishi Kara Kriya Shema, Eino Tzarech Levarech, Shekhar Niftar Be'ava Rabba. The blessing and abounding love, Ava Rabba, is God's love for us and includes praise for His, Hashem's giving us the Torah. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said that Shmuel said, for those who arouse to study until he recites the Shema, he must recite a special blessing over the Torah. If he already recited the Shema, he need not recite that blessing of the Torah, since he has already accepted himself by reciting the blessing of Ahava Rabba, an abounding love, which includes the components of the blessing over the Torah. Having mentioned the blessing recited over Torah, the Gemara focuses on a dispute over what constitutes Torah in terms of requiring a blessing. Rav Huna said, for the study of the Tanakh, one must recite a blessing, as it is the word of God. And for halachic midrash, the derivation of halachas from verses, one does not recite a blessing of the Torah. For Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar said, from Tanakh and midrash, which includes halachas derived from the verses themselves, one must recite a blessing. For Mishnah, which is only comprised of halachic rulings issued by the sages, one need not recite a blessing. I want to ask a question on that. Oftentimes, the Mishnah does include derivation from verses, from halachos. Maybe he meant not those. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Av the Mishnah Nami Tzarech Levarech, Aval Letalon Einu Tzarech Levarech. And Rabbi Yochanan said, even for Mishnah, which includes final binding halachic rulings, one must recite a blessing as well, but for Talmud, which comprises the study of the Mishnah and the rationales for its rulings, one need not recite a blessing. For Rav Amar, Av the Talmud, Tzarech Levarech. And Rabbi said, even for Talmud, which is the means to analyze the significance of the halachos, and is the only form of Torah study that leads one to its true meaning, one must recite a blessing. The statement is supported by an practical halacha derived from an observation of Rav's practice. His student, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, said, many times I stood before Rav to study our chapter of the Sifra, also known as Torah Kohanim, the halachic midrash on the Sefer Vayikra, of the school of Rav, and I saw that Rav would first wash his hands and then recite a blessing, and only then he would teach us our chapter. This demonstrates that even before their study of Torah's Kohanim, which, due to Rav's explanation of the reason behind the halachos, was the equivalent of studying Talmud, one must recite a blessing. The Gemara clarifies, what formula of the blessing does a person recite? There is a dispute over the formula of the blessing as well. Rabbi Yehuda said that Shmuel said the formula of the blessing is like the standard formula for blessings recited over mitzvahs. Blessed are you, Hashem, God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his mitzvahs and commanded us to engage in the matters of Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah Bahachi, Harev Na Hashem Alokeinu, as Dibre, so Asra Bafinu, Bibi Yosam Chavis Yisrael, Bani Yanachna Mitzahinu, 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 Am Chavis Yisrael, Kolonu Yonashim, Mechav, Leoskis, Yerasecha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Amalami Torah, La'amo Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan concludes the blessing by adding the following. Hashem, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, and in the mouths of your people, the house of Israel, so that we and our descendants, and the descendants of your people, the house of Israel, may be those who know your name and engage in your Torah. Blessed are you, Hashem, who teaches Torah to his people, Israel. Now from Nuna Amar, Hashem, Baruch Ha, Barani, Kola, Abi, Velas, Alana, Vestoras, Baruch Ha, Hashem, Dosei, Natorah, Om Rav Hamnuna, Zohim, Ula, Shem, Brachos. And Rav Hamnuna said an additional formula, who has chosen us from all the peoples and given us his Torah, blessed you, Hashem, giver of the Torah. With regard to this third formula, Rav Hamnuna said, this concise blessing is the most outstanding of all the blessings over the Torah, as it combines thanks to God for giving us the Torah, as well as a claim for the Torah and for Israel. Helkach, Limrinu, Likulo, since several formulas for the blessing over Torah were engaged, each with its own distinct advantage, Gemara concludes, therefore, let us recite them all as blessings over the Torah. Tanan asam avalahem ha-memuna barucha bracha achas. Vahim berchu. Makar v'aser sedirus. Shema v'hayayim shema v'yomar v'erchves. Ha'am shalosh brachos emes v'yatsi v'avaru v'erchus kohanim. But v'shavas musifim bracha achas l'mishmar ha-yotzei. The Gemara returns to dealing with the blessings that accompany the Shema. And describes the practice in the Beis HaMikdash. We learn there in the Mishnah Tractate Tamid. In the morning, the deputy Kohen Gadol, appointed to oversee activity in the Beis HaMikdash, said to the priests, Kohanim, who were members of the priestly watch, the Mishmar, on duty that week, recite a single blessing. The members of the priestly watch recited a blessing and read the Ten Commandments, the Aseret Divros, Shema, and Vayayim Shema, and Vayomer, the standard recitation of the Shema, the three paragraphs. Additionally, they blessed the people with three blessings. These blessings were true and firm. That was Yatsiv, the blessing of redemption, recited after Shema. That was number one. Number two, Avoda, service. The special blessing recited over God's acceptance of the sacrifices and favor, similar to the blessing of temple service that we recite in the Amidah prayer. And the Berachas Kohanim, recited in the form of a prayer without the outstretched hands that usually accompanied that blessing, according to Tosfot. And on Shabbat, one blessing is added to bless the outgoing priestly watch, the Mishmar that's going out, as the watch serving in the Beis HaMikdash was replaced on Shabbos. My bracha achas, Yad Rabbi Abba Bar Rabbi Yossi Bar Abba, Iklo Lahavo Asra Bo Minayu, my bracha achas, Lahavo Biyadayu, Ba Asa Shalir Le Rav Masman, Lahavo Biyaday, Asa Shalir Le Rabbi Huna, Amma Lahu, Hachi Amma Shmuel, Abba Rabba. Certain details in this Mishnah are not sufficiently clear. First, what is the single blessing that the deputy Kohen Gadol instructed the guards to recite? The Gemara relates, it is like the incident where Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yossi bar Abba happened to visit a certain unnamed place, and the people there asked them, what is the single blessing mentioned in the Mishnah? And they did not have an answer readily available. So they came and asked Rav Masna, and he too didn't have an answer readily available. They came and asked Rav Yehuda, and he told them, Shmuel said as follows, an abounding love, Abba Rabba, is the single blessing recited by that Mishmar of the Kohanim, the priestly watch. Rabbi Zerika said that Rabbi Yami said that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said a different answer. The blessing is, you know, creates light, Yotzer Or. And that's how Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's statement was received in Babylonia. Yet, when Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael to Babylonia, he said that this halakha was not a direct quote of the statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. That which Rabbi Zerika said was not stated explicitly by Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, but rather it was inferred from another statement. As Rabbi Zerika said, that Rabbi Yami said that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, from the expression, recite a single blessing, in the Mishnah of Tractate Tamid, it follows that failure to recite one of the blessings recited before Shema does not prevent one from reciting the other. Meaning, if you said one, even if you didn't say one, you could say the other. That means that if only one of the blessings was recited, the obligation to recite that blessing was fulfilled, and the two blessings are not mutually dependent. In other words, yeah, Rabbi Shlomo Yotzer or Havo Amri, Adar Debrachos Ema Akvaso Ozo, Delo Kaamri Havo Rabba. The conclusion was drawn from Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's statement that he held that the single blessing recited was who creates light, Yotzer or. The considerations that led the sages to this conclusion were, granted, if you say that they would recite who creates light, and the conclusion of Rish Lakish that the failure to recite the blessings before the Shema does not prevent one from reciting the other is understandable, since they recited who creates light and they did not recite in abounding love. They said Yotzer, and they did not say Abba Rabba, and they nonetheless fulfilled their obligation. This concludes Daf Yud Aleph.